What is going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to the Gravity Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Chris. Thank you for choosing to tune in today. Hey, folks, we're keeping this conversation going. How do we stay grounded in a world full of noise and chaos? How do you sift through it all, right? The world's noisy. There's tons of stuff flying at you all the time, from responsibilities to information to challenges. And how do you sift through it and make sure you don't get carried away? That's what we're trying to do here on the Gravity Podcast. Today's guest is a little bit different. You know, a lot of our guests are first responders, oftentimes who are working through some type of challenge. A lot of times a post-traumatic stress injury. We've had mental health professionals on, family members. Today's guest, Shane Erickson, is a prior law enforcement officer from Whitefish, Montana. But right now he's the chief operating officer of Deliver Fund. If you're watching on YouTube, you can see me sporting the hat. If you've been following the channel for any amount of time, you hear me talk about them from time to time. Deliver Fund is crushing evil. They are using AI technology to chase down human traffickers. And they aren't physically chasing them down, but they're using the data, the evidence, and they're passing that on to local law enforcement prosecutors. And they're equipping law enforcement with the necessary proof, evidence, to arrest and prosecute human traffickers and to free up human slaves. In my interview with Shane today, he shared with me that 80% of the human trafficking that's going on in the United States are U.S. citizens being trafficked by U.S. citizens. There is absolutely true evil in this world. And when you are keeping someone else in bondage and forcing them into, whether it be work, like labor work, or if it's sex trafficking, both are evil and there's no place in America or in this world for this. So I'm excited for you to hear from Shane Erickson and Deliver Fund. And actually, I was getting ready to do like a plug for whichever company I was going to plug today, folks, but I think the nonprofit Deliver Fund is the perfect organization to plug when you are interviewing the chief operating officer. Folks, I do this unscripted. Like, this is just me shooting from the hip anytime I hit record. So that's what you're getting right now. Check them out, deliverfund.org. There'll be a link down in the show notes. With that, folks, let's get into this interview with Shane Erickson. Shane Erickson, welcome to the Gravity Podcast.
It is awesome to be here. Thank you so much.
You know, brother, this is one of the things I like about technology. I hate technology sometimes, but I love the fact that I'm connecting with the dude and we're hours away from each other. And I'm just excited for the listeners to hear about both your story and then about the efforts that Deliver Fund is doing. So can you kick it off with that? If people don't know who Shane Erickson is, can you just kind of give us that Reader's Digest version of who you are?
Yeah, you bet. So really my story begins when I was 8 to 9 years old to really get the driving force behind what I do. My friend, Ryan Van Lucien, was abducted, sexually assaulted, and murdered by a repeat sex offender. And this was a sex offender who had been in prison, been in the system. People knew who he was. He even had told people that the next time he offends, he is going to take the life of the child. And he did. And so from that point, that was really the driving factor. I mean, don't get me wrong. I was a young man. I did a lot of stupid things as a young man. but I always knew that this was my passion. Law enforcement was going to be where my passion was. So got into law enforcement, spent about 5 years just doing patrol, just rolling around in the car, doing the calls.
Doing the Lord's work. Yes.
That's it. And then moved into detectives. I was just another detective. And then 2 years after that, I took over the detective division and I ran the detective division for 5 years and then came to Deliver Fund.
I love it. And you were a police officer there in the beautiful God-given state of Montana. Is that correct?
That is correct. Yes, Whitefish, Montana. It's what I tell people is this was the best place to be in law enforcement for me, because not only did we have the community who supported us, but law enforcement writ large in Montana is pretty well respected.
Yeah. My wife and I are actually going to come check it out this summer. My buddy's the undersheriff for Flathead County. And so,
Oh, so you know Wayne.
yeah.
Yeah.
He was my SWAT team leader when I was on the SWAT team, when I was
Okay.
working
Okay.
here.
I've, yeah.
Good man. But no, we're excited to come check it out just because that's what we hear is just how beautiful that area
Yes.
is.
Come in, I tell people come in the spring or summer, unless you're a winter person.
No, we're going to come in the early summer, yeah. I don't mind snow, but I want to see the
Yeah,
beautiful thing.
you want to go to Glacier Park, and you want to take in all the sights and,
Yeah.
do all the fun stuff.
Yeah. So how did you like what was the catalyst? I mean, you could have stayed in law enforcement longer if you wanted to, but there was something about that time period that caused you to say, "Hey, I'm ready to transition." And then why deliver fund when you decided to transition?
Sure. So I think that for me personally, it was, I'm a mission-driven person. And always have been. And I wanted to be able to reach the capacity of the greater United States. I was stuck in a little corner in Montana. That's where, which was great for the 11 years that I was there. That was perfect. I wanted to expand and touch more places. I was fortunate enough to have a meeting with Nick, where he told me what his kind of his vision for Deliver Fund was, what he thought. And it was like, man, we're just lining up perfectly
Yeah.
with what your vision is, what you want to do, and my skill set. So from that point, it was an easy process for me to come over to Deliver Fund, and then just start rolling.
And what's your role at Deliver Fund? Is it Chief Operating Officer?
Yes, so I'm the chief of operations.
Okay. And what does that entail? What does it entail? Like, what are your responsibilities?
Sure. So with the chief of operations, I run in the name, obviously, the operations of. So we have operations with law enforcement. We have embedded analysts that are in that report to police departments every day. So we have an analyst that reports to the Houston Police Department. It's called the HITRA, the Human Trafficking Rescue Alliance. He reports there every day. We have other analysts, myself, that are working with law enforcement. So it depends on what we're doing. If law enforcement is doing, let's say they're going to do an action of something on the weekend, they're going to have an op go on the weekend. So Deliver Fund, we will then build intelligence target packages for law enforcement. So when that operation kicks off, they have actionable intelligence that they can work off right off the bat. So it's not 15 guys sitting around in a room, then pulling up a computer. Okay, let's get this op going. It's when we show up, we're rolling. We're already rolling. And when law enforcement is out contacting those girls on the illicit sites, we're back with them getting any data, running that intel that comes in and providing that to them. So not only is it very good, right, in the aspect of figuring out who's who in the zoo, but it's also so beneficial for law enforcement on the officer safety issue. We know
Yes.
who's coming in. We know what they're driving. We know what their histories are. So that is how that Deliver Fund and law enforcement work so well together. At Deliver Fund, we have the largest human curated probable trafficking data in existence. I know that's a mouthful. That's a lot. But yes, so little old Deliver Fund has the largest, cleanest probable human trafficking data set in existence. So that's what enables Deliver Fund not only to work with law enforcement, because we know we're never going to be able to arrest our way out of this problem.
Yeah.
I could make every trafficker in the United States glow green right now, and we don't have enough law enforcement, and we do not have enough prosecutors to do so. We have to think about this a little bit differently. Okay. So we know that is a hindrance in law enforcement. Okay. So what we need to do then is come up with other areas of disruption within the market. So Deliver Fund also works with your banks and Airbnb and other services to deny territory to traffickers. So they can't get an Uber or a Lyft. They can't get a plane ticket. They can't rent a motel room. They can't keep a bank account open. All of these things are playing into, hey, 10 points of disruption. We are going to deny territory everywhere and make it to where if we can't arrest them in this given moment, then we're going to make it so damn difficult for them to do any kind of business. They're like, fuck it. I'm going back to selling guns and drugs. And we have a DEA and we have an ATF for that.
Love it. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we don't have a federal law enforcement agency that just focuses on human trafficking.
We don't. And I've been in this human trafficking space since 2018. So I've worked with every state, local, and federal agency you can imagine. And the FBI and Homeland Security are doing great things, but they are pretty much predominantly going after infants and kids, right?
Totally.
So that leaves a whole huge gap that is left to our state and local partners, right?
Yeah.
So the state and local partners are the ones that are doing the heavy lift throughout the country on human trafficking. And that's why it's incumbent upon, we feel at Deliver Fund, that we need to come in there and support those state and local that have those 16 to 20 man departments, that they don't have a detective that is tech savvy. No. They don't have the funding to have all the nice tools and all. And that's where Deliver Fund comes in. We give them the tools, we give them the data, we give them the methodology to figure it all out for free.
Yeah, I love this. Let's get into the technologies, just because we've talked about, you know, the partnerships and equipping. So what does Deliver Fund do so that, you know, people can understand what are you doing with technology? It's not just a magic wand that we're waving over, you know, over a computer's head. How are you mining this intelligence?
Sure. So we have our own development team here at Deliver Fund, right? And through our process, this is something that people need to understand, that, you know, this is something that has taken Deliver Fund a little bit of time to really, you know, point that spear to where it needs to be, right? There was a learning curve, if you will, on, okay, what is the problem? What is the scope of the problem? How do we go about best tackling this problem? And that's where we've come in with the tech, right? So, like I said, we have the largest human curated database in existence on probable human trafficking. We provide that to law enforcement. We have our own proprietary software. And so what that law enforcement can do with our software has all the data in it that they would need, but it also has a deconfliction. And that is very important, especially when you're speaking on human trafficking, because we all know it's so migratory. If you're not in a big city, LA, Houston, they're moving, right? Because they need to move to make the money to meet the Johns. Yeah. So we know that law enforcement, let's say in California, is working the same cases as law enforcement in Nevada. And instead of duplicating cases and working the same people in different states, our system deconflicts. So if you put in a phone number, an email, an address, a name, and you search that in our system, if it's in our system, it's going to populate and it's going to tell you Officer Joe Smith in whatever police department, wherever, entered this information. Here's his contact info. Reach out to him.
Yes.
So now that officer in another state who would have never known that this other investigation's going on, now in real time, I can reach out and I can say, talk to that other officer, talk to that other detective about what's going on in their case and share information.
No, that's huge. That's huge. I was part of a street crimes team that primarily worked violent crimes and drugs, but we had a number of drug task forces as well. But because we were in the fringe chasing gang members and guns, and we constantly would deconflict things with the state.
Yes.
But that's just in Washington State.
Yeah.
Right. That's who we were deconflicting with. Whereas, what you said is true is, the prostitute that is being worked here in my hometown is going to be in Portland by the end of the week. And then maybe down in California and over in Vegas. Oh, we have a Super Bowl coming up. Guess where, you know, we're going to send someone, you know, different. It maybe has changed. I can't remember. I remember at one point there was an estimated time, like from the time this stuff is getting put up till the time that your technology has the ability to put that in the hands of law enforcement. I remember when I first was digging into Deliver Fund, I think it was a few days, and then when I interviewed Nick, he said, "Oh, Chris, that's old information." And he was telling me just about how good the technology was getting as you guys improved. Where is it at now from the time that it's uploaded and you guys are keying in on it to the point that we can get that in the hands of law enforcement?
So there are, and that's why I said going back in a little bit, we have identified multiple illicit sex sites that are predominant and popular throughout the United States, right? Figuring that out took time because you need to work in every aspect in every corner of the United States to figure out what, because it changes geographically. Like the websites that these girls and pimps are using in Florida, when I work in Florida, is different than when I work in California. So that took time. So we have that process figured out to where I know now the sites that I have turned my dev team to, they're scraping those every day. So I'm getting those ads. Everything new that's coming up is getting memorialized and captured daily.
I love it. And you're using,
And I can,
go ahead.
and I said I can change that with the good thing about Deliver Fund is we're so quick and we can move and pivot so fast. I can have my development team crank up some scrapers and have them running in a matter of minutes to scrape a site for however long I want. That's the power of what we have to be able to move in real time and actually make a difference in real time to what law enforcement is seeing.
And you have to have that flexibility because if I
Have
have to
to.
submit a request and you're going to get back to me next week, the person's
It
gone.
doesn't,
The
that's it.
investigation's cold, unless it's just one of my local girls, one of the local prostitutes. But for the ones that are actually being moved from spot to spot, and now those are the ones that we really need your assistance with the gals that the prostitutes and the pimps that are just constantly operating in one area and they have been for 5 or 10 years, probably lower level type operations. I can investigate that. These are people I've known for a while. It's that transient nature activity that law enforcement just doesn't can't get a leg up on.
That's just it. And like I was touching on a little bit earlier, with 80% of the United States is rural, right? So 80%, that's a huge chunk of our country, is 16 to 20 man departments. So that's why when people are listening to this, it's your rural communities that they think they are safe and it's not going to touch them. And the traffickers know that. So what are they doing? They're moving into these rural communities. They'll set up for 3, 4 days. By the time law enforcement even catches wind, hey, what's going on over here? They move out and they move to that next jurisdiction. So that's why Deliver Fund, it's so important to myself and the organization to put the power in the hands of those agencies that do not have that HT detective, that don't have the resources, that don't have the manpower. We will equip, train, and advise them and give them the tech and the data that they need to be killers, to be successful.
I didn't realize that you guys deployed out for some of these operations. Talk about that for a little bit. Has that been going on the whole time, or is that something that's new?
No, we've been doing that now. I started in 2018, and I've been doing that since the inception, since I came here. So depending on the department, a lot of times what starts off when we form a new relationship with a new department, the first few times I like to go there in person so they can meet me, they can see how I work, they can tell me, "Shane, this doesn't work. We want to see it done this way," whatever the case may be. And then from there, after a couple times of being there in person, it works so smooth, I can do everything virtually. So all they got to do from that point is tell me the dates and the times of the operation, and we provide all the intel, all the target packages, all that stuff virtually.
I love it. What kind of response have you guys gotten from prosecutors?
We have great response from prosecutors. Yes, and that's one of the things to where with the HT space, a lot of people need to understand the prosecutors and even some of our investigators, it's a changing of the guard, if you will, right? Because the way they prosecute, the way they investigate human trafficking is different than what a lot of the other crimes that they are used to prosecuting.
Yeah.
So, you know, a lot of times it was heavily relied upon on the testimony of the victim. We don't want to do that. We here at Deliver Fund, we want to make sure that that victim never has to take the stand. Yeah. And that's why that open source intelligence is so important, because we're giving to the jurors or we're giving to the judge exactly what that trafficker said or what that victim said the trafficker was making them do in their own words. So you don't have to have that victim come up there on the stand and testify. So there's so many facets of what we are about here at Deliver Fund and the way that we are getting it done.
What I hear you saying is that the evidence is so overwhelming that people are pleading out. People are taking a plea deal because the evidence is so overwhelming, they don't want it to go to trial.
Exactly right. Exactly right. And that's where Deliver Fund comes in with the training of prosecutors, because we train prosecutors and judges as well, because like I said, it's a new way to prosecute. Okay. If this is my case with human trafficking and this is what I got, if I don't have enough that I feel comfortable in a human trafficking charge, do I have a money laundering charge? Do I have something else that I can tie them up in? And so that's what we work with our prosecutors throughout the country on. We just signed a sponsorship with Tyson McCoy out in California. He started a new organization that is California DAs that prosecute human trafficking, along with California investigators and surrounding states. He's finally getting and putting on a conference and training for all those people in the state of California and surrounding states that are involved with the prosecution or the investigation of human trafficking and bringing them together. That's exactly what needs to happen in every state around the country. Your investigators and your DAs need to be meeting, and they need to be meeting regularly. So the investigators have an idea of what the DAs are looking for in an HT case and vice versa.
Yeah. And one of the things I see happening right now as I speak with law enforcement officers from around the country is that we have a huge vacuum that's taken place. We have a huge, I don't want to say mass exodus, but we had a lot of people retire. We had some people leave the job. And like what I experienced when I was a new detective, and I was a brand new detective, and I looked around the room and I had 9 other detectives, not counting our sergeants. And some of them had been detectives for 20 years. You know, some of them just had decades of experience. So although there was no formal on the job training for a new detective there, I mean, there were some different classes they sent me to, interview and interrogation, you know, child interview and different things. It was really the on the job training from some of these really seasoned detectives that helped me get good at what I did. We don't have that. I mean, let me say that again. There are some great detectives. The agency I just retired from, phenomenal detectives. Some of them have been in it for about a decade, but we don't have the 20-year detectives anymore, right? I mean, we've lost that experience pretty much at all rungs of the chain of command. And so the training that you guys are doing is so critical. One, because it is a different type of crime that you're investigating. And then two, because we have a lot of young people out there that just don't know until you've actually done it.
Yep. With what you said, that it's kind of a double-edged sword there a little bit, because like you said, the filtering down of that knowledge from those older salty veterans is in a lot of part gone.
Yeah.
The other part of that coin, I will say, is that knowledge and that expertise, you can't replace that, but they're very hard to get to change their way of thinking.
True.
As far as investigating a new crime. And that's what I've come across. Like you cannot replace that expertise, what they've done, what they've seen for the new guy coming on. It's just when you have a new way of investigating, if you will, a new sort of filter, they are not always the best ones to pick that up and then lead with it. So your new investigators coming in, and a lot of times, well, not a lot of times, most of them have grown up with a tablet in their hand.
Yes.
Right? So they are so much further tech savvy, if you will, than our other guys, our older guys with that experience. It's kind of a trade-off, because
yeah, totally.
I can give our tools and our tech to one of these new up and coming detectives, and he picks up with it and he's rolling, right? He's thinking this is the best thing since sliced bread.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, I'm talking to that salty sergeant. He's like, I don't fucking want to pick this thing up. I don't want to turn it on. And I'm like, I get it.
Yeah.
So yes.
No, I didn't even think about it from that standpoint, but that's a really good point, because of how tech heavy it is, of what Deliver Fund is doing. And then you training folks up to, this is what this means. When I interviewed Nick, he made some comment about trying to explain to judges who still have flip phones. I got a lot of friends that are judges, so I was tagging them in that post. And I was, because a lot of my friends that are judges, we've actually had a pretty good transition. So we do have a lot of, 40-year-old judges here in our counties. But it's a really good point. Even for me, I'm 45, and what you do, even though I understand it, is not something that I have the skill set to do, right? Like, I mean, it's, if you sat me at a Deliver Fund computer, I'd be like, well, this is all screwed.
yeah, right.
You know, having those analysts that really know how to do what you get them to do and to process data is
that's 100% is the key, right? Because I mean, even myself, I'm going to be 100% honest, and I'm sure you probably are, would say the same. I did not get into law enforcement to get behind a computer.
No.
Most 99% of law enforcement does not get into this to sit behind a computer. But after being in it for a while and learning what law enforcement is really about, you kind of got two roles you can do. You can sit in the car and you can be patrol and do that. Or you can, you know, kind of go the investigative route and branch out a little bit and, you know, polish those open source intelligence skills and that Intel analyst skill. And it's an amazing world that it opens up. And you get dangerous. You even surprise yourself to the point like, holy cow, I can't believe I figured that out. I can't believe that I started with this phone number. And from a simple phone number, I have developed out their whole network. I know everything about every player, where they live, where they move, where mom's at, where grandma went to high school, everything about them. And I can put that together in an intelligence package, provide that to law enforcement. They can then go action on that and be the heroes that they are.
Yeah, I absolutely love what you're doing. I think I already kind of asked this, but I don't know if I asked it specifically. What has been the success rate for these cases, either people pleading guilty or getting guilty convictions?
So with every case that Deliver Fund has taken to trial, we have 100% conviction rate.
Oh, I love that.
That's going to get screwed up at some point, and I'm not going to be able to say that.
It's completely going to. It's just...
But as of right now, every case and everything that we have been a part of, we have 100% conviction rate right now. Again, knock on wood. Hopefully that stays. But I'm sure there probably will be one or two that throw that off. And that's why I come back to, again, it's the power of what we do, how we do it, how we can provide that open source intelligence. And it's massive. I say this a lot. And that I wish that when I was in law enforcement and I was in detectives, that I would have known more or had more training on open source intelligence, right? If it didn't come from my law enforcement, whatever tools I had or a Facebook account at that time, I was pretty much done. And it's sad for me to say that, but that's the truth, because I didn't know what I didn't know. And open source, that type of intelligence, going out and looking, we did it very rudimentary, but we didn't have any training on it. There was no Boolean search logic. You know, there was none of those things that really could have honed us down as investigators and really brought out the best of our investigation, no matter what it was, whether it was a homicide, a sex crimes, whatever the case.
Yeah. One of the challenges I see is there's so much data out there. It's not... When it comes to digital evidence, the problem isn't whether there's evidence. It's there's so much, and trying to sift through the noise. That's what I found, because we had, I just retired here in 2023. We had access to a lot of different databases that pretty much scrubbed open source. But then I had just such an aggregate amount of data that it was overwhelming, you know, because you're having yes. to, you're looking for a needle in the haystack. You're sitting there sifting yep. through it. And every once in a while you'd find it. Every once in a while you'd be like, oh my gosh, here it is. And you'd be able to connect a case. But that's what I hear Deliver Fund is doing with the AI piece is, yeah, you have a human being, an analyst sitting at the computer doing what they have to do to cause the computer to do its thing or to receive the data or to analyze it, whatever it is exactly that they do. But you having that AI sift through it for
yeah.
you.
Yeah, well, and the way that I like to think about this is that I like that analogy, the needle in the haystack, but what do you need to do first? You have to first put them on the haystack. If they can't find the haystack, they're never going to find the needle.
Yeah.
So first and foremost, we got to direct them to the haystack. And then that's what I say with AI. Here's our haystack, right? We've already got this data that we know from our training, our experience working these cases. We got it dialed in. We found the haystack. Here we are. Our AI now comes in, and that's the needle. That's the fine tuning of all that stuff, right? To make sure that, you know, because our data, when it comes in, obviously, you know, it's cleaned, it's deduplicated, it's all that stuff before our AI even touches it. And then with the AI, what you're doing is it's just that fine tuning. And it's amazing. I know a lot of people are saying, you know, are afraid of AI or AI is going to do this, do that. I believe that, you know, AI is the person that figures out how to use AI in their own application for their own job is going to be a very successful person.
Yeah, absolutely. What, I had a question in my head there and then it departed for just a second. How many law enforcement agencies, and if you don't have the exact number, that's fine, but how many law enforcement agencies is Deliver Fund working with across the country?
Yeah, we're up over 500 and some law enforcement agencies right now.
Wow. How many different states?
We're in we've touched every state. I can't think of a state that I haven't worked in.
That's
or
awesome.
We haven't done some training or we haven't done something.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm sure there is. I'm sure there's probably a state that, but yeah, we work with over 500 law enforcement agencies, and that's, you know, from your HSI, all your federal agencies, and then all your state and local.
What you guys came out with an app recently that's geared towards helping parents as well. Can you talk about that?
Yes. Yeah. So that's our HT Safeguard app. You can get that in download from the App Store. You can do search HT Safeguard or just search Deliver Fund. It's $1.99 a month. And what you can do with that app is it runs phone numbers and emails. So if you have people, and what I tell people in my circle is your daughters, you know, your granddaughters, people that are going on dates, those type of things. You got a phone number from somebody that's communicating with you, run it through our HT Safeguard. If there is any connection with that phone number or that email with illicit sex ads, it's going to pop positive. It's going to tell you, yeah, this phone number or this email has some correlation with illicit sex activity. You can report it. And then it's up to you, the individual, on what you want to do as far as that relationship moving forward. But what it does finally is put a little bit of power in the hands of the people, right?
Yes.
To figure out who these individuals, like, I got a 13-year-old daughter. Okay. So you bet that I'm going to be doing all sorts of due diligence when that dating day does finally come. And, you know, whether it be just single moms or whoever, the 20-year-old going out on dates, you know, doing those type of things. It's just another resource that we felt here at Deliver Fund that we needed to put the capabilities and the power into the hands of the people.
And you're doing it. I mean, for $1.99 a month, you guys can't even cover costs with that necessarily. This is the fact that you guys are a nonprofit. It's really speaking to the fact that you guys are trying to bring about positive change and trying to get the critical information in law enforcement hands and the critical information into parents and grandparents' hands is what I'm hearing.
Exactly right.
What do you do then? How do you pay for Deliver Fund? Everything you've described here, from having the infrastructure for the databases, I mean, this takes money. The reason why the 20-person department, the reason why the 108-person police department that I worked at. I don't think Seattle PD has this. So hundreds of person department doesn't have this technology is because it's expensive. Yes. So how are you guys, how are you guys covering costs?
So what's great at DeliverFund is we are able to offer all of our services, all of our tech, all of our data, everything we do for free to law enforcement because we have the best donors in the world. Our donors take care of us, support us, love our mission and what we do in supporting law enforcement, in, like I said, making the 10 points of disruption. If it's not law enforcement, then we're disturbing the market in multiple other places. So it is by our donors that we are able to do what we do, to develop the tech, the cutting edge technology, to put in the hands of not only law enforcement, but to put in the hands of the general public so they can have some sort of safeguard in their day-to-day lives against human trafficking as well. Because what I like to tell people is a lot of people that you come into contact with, they'll say, I never even realized human trafficking was going on in my neighborhood.
100%.
Never even heard of it.
Yep.
And I say, I get it. I equate it to back to my other life. If you didn't have domestic violence in your household or around your household, you weren't thinking about domestic violence being a problem.
Yeah.
It is. It's an issue, right?
Yeah.
And so that was kind of the way that I could make people understand, like, I understand you don't think it's happening here, but it is. It's the same type of domestic violence behind closed doors, out of sight, out of mind.
I got to say this, Shane. I give money to DeliverFund, and this is why. One of, you know, I retired early because of PTSD, and the toughest season of my career was being a child crime detective for 2.5 years.
Yep.
And I have seen a lot of pornography and involving both adults and kids, not as much involving kids, because most of those crimes that I investigated, the people didn't photograph it. But you guys are shielding investigators as well. Because I'm telling you, when I had one of those cases, if I had a location where maybe the depictions of this child were going to be in, if it was open source, I'm spending an entire day looking through porn. And I'm seeing some pretty disturbing things. Those images are burned into my mind, and
yes,
I can't get those out. And this isn't good stuff. Some people might be like, oh, that'd be cool. No, it's not cool. The human brain was not meant to see these type of images. And DeliverFund, the technology does the work to where you can, I'm understanding, you can sit there and pretty much build the case without having to have a detective sit at a computer and view thousands of images.
Yes. Yeah, so what we do, along with what we call PATH, which is the platform for analysis and targeting of human traffickers, that's where all of the law enforcement and our data sits as far as building cases and those type of things. We have another software that's called Pathfinder. And what that does, that's where all those illicit sex sites are aggregated. So I go in, I put in a phone number for this gal. It comes back. She's got 100 ads across the country. Well, each one of those ads has multiple photos assigned with it, right? So instead of having to go through and look at all those ads, all I need to do is look at that first one. I identified her. I know that's her. I can then toggle the images so they're all blurred. So then I can go in and do my work, look at the you know, what she wrote, right? Get my intel from there without having to subject myself to that aggregate decay of looking at those images time and time and time again. So I can go in, get all of the information, multiple phone numbers, multiple emails, locations she's been, so I can paint that pattern of life throughout the country without subjecting myself, like you said, to seeing these images over and over and over. Because that's what I just came off of 10 straight days of the Super Bowl. So we do a week before the Super Bowl and a week after. We provide intel reports to Homeland Security and to all of the, think of all the biggest banks you can think of in our financial working group. So what we do with that is I build intel reports, send it to the banks, send it to Homeland Security. The banks can do their due diligence on accounts that belong to certain people, freezing accounts, those type of things. And then HSI can do what they do on the background for law enforcement. But having to go through those 10 straight days, if I didn't have a way to toggle those images, I don't know if I could have made it through. I mean, yes, I could have because I've done it before, but just like you, that's where I get burnout.
Yeah.
And this job here, like I tell new analysts that come on, it's a marathon. It's not a sprint. Yeah. I don't need you for the short time. I need you for the long haul.
Yeah. Well, and I can tell you, I've gotten to a spot where I can do anything for the moment. Like if I need to flip a switch and step into something, but I've gotten to a season in my life where the consequence of that, of having to flip the switch and get through it, that's what I don't want to have to handle anymore. You know, push comes to shove.
Yep.
We can do an awful lot.
And that's what we don't want our officers to be subjected to, right? So that's why as we develop the tech, as our data becomes bigger, and all of these things advance, that is another thing that we're very serious about, making sure that law enforcement officer, it doesn't get PTSD, doesn't get, you know, just totally discouraged by the amount of aggregate of that material that they're having to see. So putting safeguards in place for our law enforcement, so their mental health, you know, it has the longevity, because that is another thing that is another whole new avenue, another discussion that we could have on another day, about mental health and law enforcement and how that's looked upon.
Yeah. What other ways? I know that you guys have other ways that you guys generate income, passive income, for Deliver Fund, Thrivers Coffee. Can you talk about that briefly?
Yeah. So Thrivers Coffee, we, is 100% all of the proceeds go back into Deliver Fund and to help the, you know, the Thrivers. What the intention of Thrivers Coffee was to have victims, right, that don't have, say they were in a victim of human trafficking, got in at like 12, 13, right? So they have no life skills. They have not been taught how to, your most rudimentary things. So when they come out of that life and they're finally rescued by law enforcement and then go through the victim services, what we want is we want a space, an area where they can then come in and learn some basic life skills of, you know, going through, whether it's just serving somebody coffee or, you know, doing a spreadsheet of what the budget was for the, just teaching them some basic skills to get them on a launch pad so they can be successful for the rest of their lives. So yes, Thrivers Coffee is one. And that's amazing. It's an amazing resource for us. And I love coffee.
So is it the money from that creates these learning opportunities, or is Thrivers itself being used to employ some of these victims that are recovering?
Right. So Thrivers, and it's very small at this point, right? So this is our vision for what we want it to do. So when Thrivers grows the way that I want it and the way I envision it to be, that is where we will step in and have these victims actually be employees, right? Actually be paid employees, because that's one of the other things they've been, you know, victims have been exploited for the large part of their life. I'm not then going to do that to them when they've come back out and are trying to get their feet back. They need to be paid very well. They need to be treated very well. Yeah. And that's what we're building towards.
Well, that's amazing. I didn't realize that. I do have one complaint.
Okay.
First of all, your Crushing Evil shirts are amazing. But all you ever have is a small. Like they just like go off they go off the shelves, and it's like, hold. I look at it probably monthly and I'm like, still, you don't want to see me in a small. That's not pretty at this point in life. You know what I'm saying?
Right. I'm right there with you. It's almost like me trying to get into this medium.
You know what I like about it? That speaks of, I mean, first of all, I mean, I'm wearing a hat here for the YouTube viewers. You see that, the listeners don't. And you always have great looking merchandise. You know, you have, and it really, for people that hear about it and hear what you're doing to crush evil, to hold evil people accountable and to free people from human slavery here in 2024, it gives you a chance to be part of the team. It's just like, you know, if you're a sports fan, you know, I've been a Seahawks sports fan since I was a kid, like no bandwagon here. We're talking Dave Craig, Steve Largent, Kurt Warner.
Yep, I mean, old school.
You know, Brian Bosworth.
Yes.
So like you buy the gear because like you identify with that sports team and you're like, you know, go Seahawks.
Yes.
People do the same thing with brands, and
They
especially
do.
when you can identify with your ethos, with your core values, whatever it is, when a company or a nonprofit in this case has something that you just really relate with, you can buy the gear, you can sport it, to where when people say, "Hey, what's up with Deliver Fund?" you can be like, "Oh, let me tell you."
And I'm glad that you brought that up, because that I had totally spaced out our merchandise and our gear as another way to support the Deliver Fund mission. And another thing that I want to bring up too is we are in the beginning process of what we're calling our OLX program. And what our OLX program is going to be is, let's just take, I'm in Whitefish, Montana. So let's just say, for instance, Kalispell is the biggest, closest city. We'll set up OLX Kalispell. What that's going to be is that's going to be homegrown community members in their own community that have a working relationship with their law enforcement entity. So what they're going to have to do is they're going to have to get a letter from their law enforcement agency saying, yes, we want to partner with these people to do this work. And what that's going to be is, we have a ton of people out there that have, whether it's from law enforcement, whether it's from military, analyst background, analytical backgrounds, whether it's CIA, I don't care what it is, throughout the country that can support their own local law enforcement. So we're setting up these programs that will be supported by Deliver Fund, our data, our tech, everything around the country, so people can have, like, look, everybody always wants, what can I do? What can we do? This is one area that if you have the skills and you have the determination, you can make a huge difference to your own local law enforcement. So you start your own OLX in whatever city. Now you start providing that open source intel to law enforcement in your community on who the players are. I don't know how much better it can get than that, when, because that's really what it's going to take.
Yeah.
It's going to take the grassroots effort of everybody in the community, in their own community, taking a stand and saying, no, this shit's not going to happen here, and we're going to do something about it. And that's what we're doing with OLX is, you know, we looked at it. Deliver Fund can't be everywhere all the time. What can we do? Well, this is something that we can do to put the power into the hands of the citizens to help out their own communities and their own law enforcement. And I'm thinking it's going to be huge. I'm hoping it's going to be huge.
How do you control that? Because obviously, I mean, this person ultimately is now going to be a representative of Deliver Fund. So are they an employee? Are they volunteering? And then with whatever mode it is, how do you do your due diligence in making sure that they're going to be a right fit?
So basically what this is, they are not employees or anything of Deliver Fund. You can think of them as their own little cell for their own police department, their own community, and Deliver Fund will then come in and give them the tech and the data to do what they need to do to be dangerous and actually be effective for their law enforcement agency. So the first hurdle they have to get over is they need to get a letter of support from their local, whether it's a sheriff's office, police department, whatever the case may be, saying, yes, this group of individuals we will work with. That's the first thing that needs to come to Deliver Fund, so we can see that that law enforcement agency says that, yes, we are willing and want to work with this group of citizens in our community. From there, right, there's background checks, those type of things that we will go through, but they are pretty much their own little entity in that community being supported by our tech and our data.
Okay, that makes sense. That makes sense.
Yeah.
I love it. And I could see that. I mean, now the local law enforcement are doing the vouching, if you will, because they're gonna have a connection with this citizen, with this retired
yes.
police officer, with this retired prosecutor, with whatever this person's
yes.
role is, they're going to yep. have that relationship established already.
And what are we trying to do really with, you know, in little communities that I live in, right? I live in a size of town that's, what, 8,000 people? You want to have that direct relationship with your law enforcement, right?
Yeah.
I want to know who the officers are in my town. I want them to know me. I want to know and want to have that good working community policing, taking that community policing aspect, and then merging it with the intelligence-led policing aspect as well. I think it's too much of one or the other, depending on where you're at, whether it's community-led policing or intelligence-led. You need to have both. They need to be overlap, right? Yeah. And that's where this OLX program, I think, and I'm hoping, is going to be so successful, because, like I said, throughout any community in the United States, the talent pool that just sits there and people that want to help and want to engage and be, effective for their local law enforcement, I think is huge. And to be able to give them that opportunity, we'll see where it goes. But I'm hoping that it's going to be something that is a grassroots and takes off like a wildfire.
I got to say one thing in case there's any listeners that are like, you know what, that's just not going to be me. And yeah, I've bought a t-shirt, but I want to do more. On Deliver Fund's website, there's a way for you to do a fundraiser, and the funds go directly to Deliver Fund, whether you do it for your birthday. Last year around this time, I was running 100 miles in a month, and I just asked for people to donate. And so there's a lot of ways to join the Deliver Fund team without actually being on the formal team, but to support the great work that they're doing in rescuing human beings. And I go back to that. I mean, it's anytime we can have an arm length away from any type of bad thing in life, whether it be death, whether it be trauma, whether it be disease, or in this case, human slavery, if it's an arm length away, well, I don't really think it's happening in my community. My guess is, folks, it's probably happening somewhere in your county. If you're in population 100 people and you don't have a hotel in your city, yeah, it probably isn't happening there. But I'm telling you, somewhere in your county or somewhere in that neighboring county 10 minutes away, human trafficking is taking place. And I'm saying this as a 25-year law enforcement officer that saw, and I say 25 years, six of that was Air Force. Oh my gosh. When I was in Korea, what did I see? Nothing but human trafficking. I still can't believe it at the time, because this was 2001, 2002. The bars that the American service members would go to off base, the dancers on stage, were all human trafficking victims. And it wasn't until the last few years that whole little area got shut down and American service members weren't allowed to go there anymore.
Yeah, it's our, I mean, realistically, it's the American dollar that drives this economy throughout the world, right? And it's, you know, here in the United States, a lot of people think that because our border is so porous and there's all these people coming across, that's the majority of the problem. That is a problem. Don't get me wrong. Those individuals are ripe to be exploited and to be trafficked, but it's 80% of the human trafficking victims in our country are U.S. citizens being trafficked by other U.S. citizens. This is not a immigration problem. This is not another country problem. This is our problem. This is an American problem that drives this economy and this type of behavior throughout the world. I was fortunate enough to go to Kyiv, Ukraine here a couple years ago, and I trained their cyber police. While we were there, we had our eyes open to a lot of labor and sex and organ trafficking, because here you have a very poor country. And what they were doing is they had baby mills. Actual mothers were being paid to give birth to babies. Those babies were then, you know, taken, organs taken, adoptions, all sorts of stuff. The worst of the worst, right? But it's our economy, and it's the U.S. dollar that drives this problem throughout the world.
So people have a choice here. You can either watch the whole Equalizer series and start training like Denzel, taking jiu-jitsu and kung fu and ninja skills, and you can go around and murder people who are doing bad things, which is ethically and morally questionable. I don't know. When I was watching it, I looked at my wife and said, "Hey, babe, I think I know what I want to do next season of life." And she said, "No, you're not allowed to do."
It would be so much easier if you could do that.
It would. It would be effective. Now, of course, as soon as we, you know, got the wrong person, you know, it'd be like, "Ooh, my bad." Mm-hmm. Or
all fun's over.
Or we can not just go off of our gut instinct like Denzel does. We can sit there and go off of grounded data like Deliver Fund is pulling, and we can contribute towards Deliver Fund. And I'm saying you just because you're the only ones I know that are out there. I'm sure that there are other organizations doing similar work, but I've been following Deliver Fund long enough and gotten a little taste of your your staff from just watching different staff members on social media and whatnot, that I really believe in what you guys are doing. And so this is a way that we can really help people here in our country. Because I'm telling you what, it's easy to keep it an arm's length away. But if my daughter goes missing, if my daughter goes missing, now I'm going to be, I'm most important thing in my life. I have four daughters, most important thing in my life, right? And I'm going to be wanting us to find them. And, I can tell you
this affects every, it doesn't matter your, you know, what your walk of life is, right? We've had victims that have come from, you know, very well-off families, we had one that the parents were in IT and they were in tech and the kid was in tech. The family, they knew, right? They knew what was going on. This trafficker still came in through the Xbox and chatted with this young, he was a young boy, and worked it for a couple months and then parked outside his house up the hill, told him, I'm here. Kid jets out the door, goes up with him. He grabs him. They hightail out. Law enforcement and parents contact us. We find them in a matter of hours. He's already in another state. Long story short, we put law enforcement on the target. They kick the door the next morning, get the kid back. That's just a short story to say it doesn't matter, right? These traffickers will take months and months and months to recruit your children and to have them, you know, leave, come to them, whatever the case may be. It's not. And like I say, a lot of times we spend more time protecting and locking our house than we do. It's almost like we lock the door on the outside and everything on the inside's open. Our Wi-Fi is right open. Our kids are sitting there with their MacBook and their iPhones, and parents have no idea what games they're in, who they're talking to. And I'm saying that the digital threat to our children is huge in this country, and parents need to know who their kids are talking to, what games they're in, and what's going on with their digital world.
I think that's a great message to end on. Just
Yeah.
Again, being the dad of four daughters, I try to be involved in that, but I'm going to be real with you.
It's tough.
Like, right. Like I picked up one of my daughter's sons, my 12-year-olds the other day, and I'm going through it. And I just picked up on some mean girl stuff going back and forth. And unfortunately my daughter was the mean girl in this case. And so we dealt with it. Right. And she made it right with the different friends and whatnot. But if that was under, you know, out of my peripheral or in my peripheral, it was out of my vision. I wasn't aware of it, that it was happening. Is there a possibility that my daughter is talking to someone that has
absolutely
bad intent? Yes,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep. And that's why I say, you know, to people, and it's really hard for a lot, I think most average Americans to really understand the amount of time these traffickers will take to recruit your child. Right. Yeah. It's not like they're going to reach out one time and they don't get anything back, so they're going to move. They will spend months upon months slowly communicating, telling that child, you know, looking at their social media to figure out what that key is that I need to get in and exploit. Oh, she's mad at her dad right now. Boop. Here's my opportunity. Yeah. Right. So those type of things. And it's paramount. I get it. I have two kids and, you know, the amount of things that are just in life and to do, but you have to be in their phones. You have to have that social threat lockdown.
Yeah. Shane, for folks that maybe they've never heard of Deliver Fund, which if they're listening to my podcast channel, I don't know how that's possible, but let's just say we have some unicorns out there, or maybe they this is the first time they've heard your voice. What are the best ways that they can connect with you and with Deliver Fund?
Yeah. So we are all on all the social media platforms at Deliver Fund. Deliverfund.org is our website where you can go learn basically everything that I just have talked about in probably a little bit better explanation. And then I'm not on very many social media. I'm LinkedIn, so you can find me personally on LinkedIn. We're all over Deliverfund.org.
I love it. Well, Shane, time is my greatest commodity. I can't make more of this stuff, and you've given me an awful lot of yours. Thank you, brother.
Thank you. I appreciate you.
You as well. Take care.
Take care.
Wow, folks. What did you think about that interview with Shane. I was blown away. I mean, this is something I've been interested in a while, specifically DeliverFund and the work they're doing in holding human traffickers accountable. And I still wasn't even aware of some of what DeliverFund's doing or even the size of the problem. You know, I mean, it's when we can keep this stuff away from ourselves, we feel a little bit more immune. Whereas if it falls into our backyard, if it's one of our kids or our neighbors or family members who gets taken, we're going to want to call up DeliverFund and we're going to want to get our law enforcement the necessary intelligence to hold criminals accountable. Folks, Jamie and I want to hear from you. How can we make this podcast better? There's a few different ways for you to communicate and show support to us. First and foremost, please share this with your friends, with your family. Please follow on whatever podcast platform you're listening on. That will cause the next episode to come up in your dashboard. If you're listening on Apple or Spotify, you can rate and review us. We need ratings. We need reviews. It's kind of the way the system works. We'd really appreciate a 5-star rating. 5 stars. But if we haven't earned 5 stars, folks, they're your stars. Keep your stars. Instead, shoot me an email at chris@gravityct.com. Let us know how to make a better future, Marriage Monday topics, or guests for me to interview. Folks, we only get to live this life once. Let's go out and take care of the people in our tribe. Take care of each other. God bless.